Hello and welcome to the Women in Action Sports Conversation Space. I am Alba Pardo and today we're speaking with Chiara Grisorio. Chiara is an energetic, full of life, and in her own words, super chilled woman who is now the team manager for Drake and Norwave, or the women's team manager rather. She's also the filmer for Rusty Toothbrush and the right hand of Alex, her partner, as well as the mother of little 8-month India. Alex and Chiara are full-time nomads and they just travel around filming snowboarding, making projects happen. And currently she's, you know, a very powerful activist for the progression of female snowboarding. She's working inside the brand to provide and listen to the riders and listen to the scene and try and turn it around how things are done within her company. And hopefully inspiring other companies to do similar changes and give similar support to their female team riders and make their teams bigger and so on. So this Italian who forgot how to speak Italian is telling us today her story on growing up in the United States, becoming a teacher, going to that from, you know, the high fashion style of the big city in Italy to the scene of snowboarding and skateboarding, how much in love she fell with the aesthetic of it, to end up in a van with her 8-month-old daughter and her partner filming snowboard movies whilst managing a team of snowboarders. Without further ado, please welcome Chiara. Well, hello, Chiara. Thank you so much for being with us today. How are you? Where are you right now?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Thank you. I'm at my parents' house, which is crazy because we come here kind of like twice a year, more or less, because with living in the van, we need to like reorganize stuff. But actually, Alex isn't here with me because I kind of had to let him do his thing. Because he's right now, they're shooting, they're going in the backcountry. Mm. And me with India, it's a little bit difficult. She's 6 months. So, you know.
So, mom of a 6-month-old India.
Yeah.
And what country is your parents' house at the moment?
They live like kind of close to Torino in Italy.
Okay, Italy.
Yeah, okay. It's like an hour from Torino.
Because last week I spoke to you and you were in the van in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, exactly. I was in Czech just a couple of days ago. Yeah. Yeah, we were there because we were filming for Rusty Toothbrush, Two Vans, No Plans. And also we did a promo for our new unisex board called the Tao of Drake. And yeah, we've got the Simpson brothers who are incredible. I love them. And they're putting up this, they're doing the video for it along with Klaus, well, Sophia, you know her, and Veroniki and Nata, our new addition.
Cool. So I feel like we kind of crossed each other's paths without even knowing that we were crossing each other's paths, and then we have so many people in common. It's like, you should meet Chiara, oh, you should meet all, and then it's kind of like, wait, but we have met, but we didn't even know.
I know, right?
So the first thing I'd like always to ask is a bit, you know, who's Chiara, where you come from, and the sense of who you are today and what brought you here. What's your story, basically?
Yeah, so interesting because I speak English quite fluently because I was raised in the States. Mm-hmm. And then I came back to Italy. My parents are both Italian, and came back to Italy and went to an American school because I didn't speak any Italian. So I did that for a bit. I mean, I graduated and everything. And then I randomly went to this club in Milan and I met these people and they were like, oh, we're going to this place, Bardonecchia. it's in the Alps, you know. And I was like, what the hell? And they were like, oh, you should come, you know, like we do like these events. And I was like 21, 22, something like that. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, sweet, you know. I knew how to snowboard, but kind of, you know, freaking Jerry, just like down the slope, you know, pretending I knew how to like turn and stuff. And I went to this place and it was insane. I had never seen like a proper snow park. And I'd never seen like such cool people. Like, you know, the Milan kind of fashion and
city girl.
Yeah, because for sure, you know, you're born in like such a big city. And even though like I was never like a real city girl inside, I mean, I was brought up as a city girl, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it was crazy because I just completely fell in love with everything that had to do with snowboarding, from, you know, the snow to the place, to the events, to the people, and I was like, I have to be in this. I have to, like, somehow I have to be in this. And it really paid off, the fact that I spoke English, like really good English.
Yeah.
Because I met these guys and they were like, oh, you know, like what we do is we do these kind of weekends in the snow. And our partner is Fiat Freestyle and Red Bull. And I was like, oh, sick. They're like, oh yeah, we need someone, you know, like a kind of like a handy girl, whatever. And I was like, yeah, 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 I'll do that. I'll be that. I just want to be in this, you know, in this situation. And
I love the job description.
Yeah, the job handy title. Girl. Yeah. You know, go get me this, do that, take a picture of that guy, you know, kind of thing. Give that guy a board and put on stickers on his board, like stuff like that. I don't know. And I was like, yeah, sick. I don't even care about the money. I just want to be here, you know? So I did that like every weekend. And then after like a couple of months, I was like, okay, I'm leaving Milan. I'm just going to go live there.
How old were you then?
I think it was like 20. I don't remember if I was 21 or 22.
Right. Quite young.
Yeah. But oh my God, it was the parties, like that's what got me, you know, because I was such a party girl, you know, and yeah, it was the best. So that's kind of like how I fell in love with snowboarding, and how I also like really fell in love with everything that's behind snowboarding. So not only like, you know, going snowboarding, but actually, you know, the events and all this stuff, and yeah.
The build up,
yeah. And I stayed there for like 8 years.
Wow. In Budapest.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, so now how did you go from that, from being kind of stuck in Budapest to now being in a van and, you know, having a baby, like how did that transition happen? Like, let's go to the second part of the story.
Oh, that's all Alex. Like, just for me, just meeting Alex like opened up every possible door. I mean, because I had met him before, like I think it was like I met him like 8 years ago, I think, in Les Des Alpes. And then, but I was, you know, we were friends, whatever. And then I had broken up with my boyfriend 5 years ago, and he just called me and was like, oh, hi, what are you doing for New Year's? I have to like film like close to Bardonecchia. And I'm like, oh my God, come over, you know? and after that, like he just opened all these doors and all these possibilities, and just the way he was living, I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. And of course, like we fell in love right away, and he took me on this trip like in California after like 4 months that we were seeing each other, like seeing,
yeah,
you know, because we were actually not even seeing each other because he was always traveling. Was going to India and whatever. And I'm just like, okay, what's, how's it going to be? How's it going to work out? And then he just invited me to California. And I was like, yes, definitely doing that. I'm going.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh my goodness. It was amazing. We had like, yeah, I don't know if you want to hear about the story, but this one's a crazy one. Cause we bought this like $500 motorbike in California, and Alex didn't have a driver's license and we had no papers. We just bought a motorbike because, you know, super in love. And yeah,
were you like, trying to replicate some kind of movie perhaps?
Probably. That's the thing. That's how it became, that's how it got from that to the van, because everything with Alex seemed like a movie. Because it was like, oh, you want to do this? Yeah, let's do it. It's possible. Whereas, like, unfortunately in Italy, a lot of things are like, oh no, it's impossible. You can't do that. Oh no, this requires that much money. Oh no, this requires those many, you know, people that you know, and with Alex, it was everything's possible. So like, even that, I was like, one day I was like, oh, I'd love to buy a van, you know? And then like, he's like, oh, I got a job off. Like, he was supposed to like film this thing in Czech Republic for horse feathers. And he's like, but we don't have a car. How do we get there? Let's go buy a van. I'm like, what?
I love that spirit, but I love the fact that you're so like, it also requires someone that's open and willing to embrace all of that. You're filming, how when did that come into the picture in this timeline?
Yeah, because basically at the beginning, well, when all this, when we were dating and stuff, and you know, I was kind of like helping him a little bit here and there with Rusty Toothbrush, because I mean, he had a partner, Brad, who's an amazing person, insane filmer, and they were doing everything before, you know. But when Brad left, I kind of saw that, you know, he was alone basically now. And Rusty Toothbrush was growing, just kept on growing. And he had not only the whole, you know, filming and organizing, but also he had the apparel and all this stuff and the new sponsorship with Drake and Northwave. And so it kind of like, he kind of just said, you know, here, try this, you know, and he gave me this camera. And I was like, oh no, I don't think I know how to do it. And he was like, no, come on, Chiara, just, you know, you can do it. And I was a bit like, yeah, you know, because I'm not, it kind of seems that I'm like a strong person, but actually I'm quite intimidated by a lot of things. And I was really intimidated by that because it's such a male dominated world, you know, the filming and all that stuff. So, and plus I had this anxiety of saying, shit, what if I don't get the shot? And, you know, it's one thing if I don't get the shot and it's Alex, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But what if it's like, you know, I don't know, like.
You're going to be the chick that didn't press the record button.
Or did it badly, you know, you didn't get the landing right.
Yeah, especially the street scene, you know, it. Anyone that's been doing street spots knows how hard it is to get one single image, one single clip.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. It requires work, investment, commitment, forgetting about the real world, because it's this weird bubble you go into, and you have to put everything in there. And you know, we're maybe more used to see competitive snowboarding athletes that train and go to the gym, and it's a full-on dedication career as well, but then there's these other kind of parallel path to snowboarding, whether it's, you know, backcountry riders or street riders or both.
Yeah.
And how much effort, it's just a rail in the city. Yeah, what's behind it, right?
Yeah.
And that's intimidating, especially because you don't really see many girls
doing it. All the problematics, the cops, the weather.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You're freezing cold. You don't have gloves because, I mean, I've never gotten any glove. Like, you know, it's you have to press the button, then you have to change this. And then before it was, I was filming on another camera. So you have to change the lens and then, you know, whatever, all this stuff. And then the batteries and then all this stuff. And, but, you know, I kind of trusted him, which is, it took a while because, you know, I mean, I'm only human and I knew, like, we both kind of knew that, you know, I was a little bit intimidated by all this stuff. Also because I already had kind of this feeling back in the day, you know, 2001, 2002, when I loved snowboarding so much, but at the same time, I would only see guys. So it would be intimidating also to, you know, just enter, just go in the park, you know, just get your snowboard inside it. You know what I mean?
What do you think that intimidation comes from? Is it being afraid of ridicule? Is it afraid of not fitting in? Or is it just because all of a sudden they're going to look at you? Like, what do you think the intimidation comes from?
Well, I'm going to speak personally.
Of course, yeah.
For me, it was, I'm like that a lot, but mostly in snowboarding. Like, a lot in snowboarding is just like, to, you know, the worry of fucking up or like, you know, maybe like doing a Jerry move or, and people looking at you and just being judged. And that for me is a little bit, what it was for me. So I never really took it to the next level because I really didn't have anyone like helping me out or like anyone that would be like, hey, come on, let's do this together, you know, like a partner. Or,
you know what, that this makes sense from the background of those years in the Italian snowboard scene, because there was I used to spend a lot of time in Elizabeth Alps as well in summers, and it was like massive Italian and Spanish communities.
Yeah.
And there was this big pose going on. Mm-hmm. And for us in the Spanish community, yes, but in the Italian one, it was even more. Like I remember looking, it was like, whoa, that, you know, I never met a single woman.
Yeah.
It was, I can understand that.
And,
how has that changed though? How do you see it now? How, when you say, oh, this is intimidating, or does it intimidate you to snowboard in front of someone else or do something that you might fuck up?
Yeah, now for me, I don't really care because I don't really do anything. I just like to, I snowboard for my own pleasure. I go with my girlfriends. So it's great. And when I go, for example, with the team, I just film them or whatever, but I see them being really tight together with I'm talking about the North Wave Drake team women. I see them really, really, you know, getting along. They're really tight. But you know, they also have a level, like a high level of snowboarding. So I guess it could also make it easier because, you know, you've got this strength, you already know what you're doing.
But for you personally, how did you think you went from being so intimidated to actually being like, I don't give a shit?
Oh, age for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Even like going
perspective
out, you know? Yeah, of course, like you're way more sure of yourself, so you don't care. I think also, if I have to be honest, maybe the fact that I have such a, you know, let's say like a big crew behind me. I have Rusty Toothbrush behind me. I have Drake and Northwave behind me. So I think it creates like a more legitimacy, let's say. Mm-hmm. And also that I don't have any expectations of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really care. I mean, I'm just there for, I'm actually there to, you know, do a couple of turns and have fun, but I'm also there, you know, to just promote women all the time. So I'm also, you know, when I go, I'm either there with, you know, with my crew or with Rusty Toothbrush. And now Rusty Toothbrush is such a mixed crew, it's women and men. So
before we move into the, which of course I want to talk about the woman side and the inclusivity and the promoting of women, I want to kind of wrap things up on your personal journey and how, and the question I have is like, is this filmmaking kind of part of this handy girl role, or is it something that you've now taken and made your own?
I think a bit of both. Yeah, a bit of both. What can I say? Well, like, I think it's also the fact that, I mean, I don't want to like continue saying Alex, but
no, please don't. Talk about you. We were interested in you today. He's amazing,
it's just that he's like a bit my, it's really like between me and Alex is kind of like a genderless sort of partnership. I don't know how to say it, because we're such good partners, we're such a good team that even, you know, with the movies and stuff like that, it's so mixed. We inspire each other all the time.
That made me very fucking jealous right now. That, you know, having that such strong thing made me really fucking jealous.
I kind of made myself puke when I but it's true. It's you know, even the movies that we're doing, they're so balanced between what I like, what he likes, what the, you know, the whole process is just such a working progress between me and him. And he's the one that edits them. But actually, you know, there's more to a movie than editing. Of course, like editing is like I have so much respect for the people that do it because it's such a meticulous job. But, you know, you have to have that eye and the music and the people and the surroundings and everything. So it's, I think we're a good team on that. And
And so about the inclusivity part and the promoting women.
Yeah.
What's your take on it? I mean, I know you're, you know, standing up for the girls in the team to bring up more girls into the team, both in Rusty Toothbrush, but also in Drake and Northwave now. Mm-hmm. But what's your actually stand? What do you understand by inclusivity?
Well, I think it's a more exactly. It's a for me, it goes like way beyond. It's just the for me, it's difficult to explain because it's who I am in general. I believe in this so much, but not only in women, in anything from ethnicities to minorities to whatever to. It's always been like that for me, always. It's such an important thing. And it's probably the first thing that I'd love to not teach, but let's say transcend to my daughter, because it is for me the most important thing. Maybe because I was, you know, bullied when I was younger and then I became the bully. Or maybe it's because I've done a lot of work with like refugees, and I did a lot of like rehab work, and I just think it's super important because I've seen people being left out, and I've seen what it means not to be part of something. So for me, it's super important to it, because being part of something is also like it can help you with many other aspects of your life, not only just, you know, being part of, you know, whatever snowboard community, but, you know, in that snowboard community, you could also find a friend, or you could also find, so inclusivity is everything. It's not just about, you know, girls going snowboarding in a male dominated world. But it's also, you know, finding a friend or having somebody to talk to or creating a safe space, a safe environment, and just a place where, you know, people
belonging.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm hearing. It's belonging and feeling identified and that you're part of something. And that's something that we all crave. And funnily enough, I was doing an interview yesterday and I had to tell a bit my story. And they were like, so, you know, how, like, you're from Spain and there's no mountains and this and that. And it's like, what's snowboarding? It was like, for me, snowboarding was belonging. Like, I didn't feel like I belonged in the group of friends that I kind of was born into. So snowboarding for me became this space where I could belong and be who I was and who I wanted to be. And I identified, and as a teenager, you kind of use it to, you know, a tool for you to show who you are. So I understand where this comes from, absolutely. And but where does your need from for kind of building this up, and what's your take on how to build this up?
So the need comes from the fact that I think all of us are quite fed up, at least in my let's say in my life. I'm very, very fortunate that I have a partner who's a male, and we work 50-50 and okay, whatever. But this is an exception, because I also work for a brand who before me didn't have a female role. And, you know, this is, I'm super happy with Drake and Northwave, but I know that they're not the only ones. You know, there's so many that haven't had and still don't have a female
anything.
A female anything. This is absurd. And maybe this is why I am also quite angry and want to, not anger, but kind of like fed up with this bullshit and just like, come on, guys, you know better than this. Like, we're in 2022.
Do they though?
They don't. That's why I don't give a shit. And I just want to speak up, because I know that a lot of women won't speak up. I know that there's a lot of riders who will just ride for a fucking brand, you know, and just be exploited by it. Mm. And at this point, I'm talking about myself. I'm putting myself out there and being like, you know what? Fuck the brand, come with us. But it's true, you know, because there's a lot of brands that will just give you a board and bindings and will be like, yep, there you go. See you next year. And that's insane. Like, that is not acceptable anymore, because then you see all the males and that's not the case, or a lot. I'm not, sorry, generalizing, not all, but a lot of male riders who are getting paid. And then you see, you know, you go on that whatever brand's page, you see the team and it's like one girl and like 50 guys. And it's like, what? Why? Number one. You know?
Would they argue that on the level or the skills?
I think it's something you can't argue with that. Like, you just have to freaking pay your riders.
Mm. Oh yeah, absolutely. There's also, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here, because you know, this is what I hear a lot of the times. It's like, oh no, but there's, you know, for 100 men that are really good riders, there's one woman. So of course that's a ratio we have in our team.
Yeah, but that's
how do bullshit. You respond to that?
It's bullshit. It's so bullshit. And I'd love for anyone, honestly, to come and join one of our trips. Who cares if it's Drake and Northwave? Come, because honestly, I would love it. Anyone is invited. Anyone is included in our trips. Like, and we don't have these problems. Why do other, like, we were just filming three guys, three girls. Like, why don't other brands do that? Like, yeah, now I'm seeing, of course, there's a bit more out there. It's I think it's getting way better. way better. But I even hate saying that, you know, even
because it isn't good stuff. No, it's yeah. better. So we should be happy. Wait, no.
Yeah. yeah. It's kind of like here, have a carrot, even if you're like freaking hungry as hell, you know, here, have a little snack.
Yeah.
No, I want the whole plate of pasta.
yeah.
you know, but yeah, honestly, just, I don't know. I feel like there is what, like, I think there is, it is right to have some athletes. Oh, I mean, this is in my opinion, of course, everything's debatable. But I think it is okay to have, you know, a pro and an AM team, you know, because of course, maybe there are some riders that are not at the level of, you know, your pro riders, and it's okay, maybe not to like pay them, you know, in the first, but including them into trips or going filming or, you know, because how are
being
these
part
people,
of the actual team,
how are they gonna, you know, become better if you don't give them a chance? And it doesn't matter whether it's women or men at this point, you know, because it's just, it has to be, you know, meritocracy, like you have to earn that spot. And but at the same time, the brands have to invest. They can't just like keep you there as a little doll or a little Ken. I don't know, you know, it doesn't make sense.
There used to be a more defined path on how to get there, I feel like, for both men and women, like to become professionals. But now thankfully with all the social media and the other platforms and the ability to perhaps create movies a bit easily than back then, I feel like there's more than one path, and you know, the living example is Alex and Rusty Toothbrush and what they've achieved. And so, but there's also a lot of noise and there's also a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah.
What would be your advice or kind of your take on for women specifically that wanna kind of make it, whether it's a writer, whether it's like as a part of one project that it's maybe not that much linked to a brand, but kind of want to do their own thing or want to get into a brand, like what would you tell them?
Well, I mean, the first thing is definitely to, and I take this from both Veroniki and Alex, who are really good at this. They both are hustlers in the sense, like, they don't just go riding and then hope that somebody's going to turn up and be like, oh, you know, I'm going to sponsor you today. I mean, it could happen. It's great. It's wonderful. But I think you also have to, if this is what you want to do, you also have to, like, you know, of course, dedicate some time into showing the brands what you're worth.
Because it's not a coincidence that they're hustlers and that they're doing so well, right?
Exactly. exactly. I mean, you know, and it was great because and here we go again into what we were talking about before. I saw something like a great example that I saw while we were filming for Unisex Board, The Tower of Drake, is Nata not having gloves and saying, oh man, I kind of need some new gloves, you know, and maybe I should get a sponsorship or something. And Veroniki's like, yeah, like, you know, you should hit someone up, you know, you're freaking good at snowboarding, what the hell, you know, you've got the skills, you've got the clips, you've got, you know, you're filming a movie now, you're filming a whatever, like a promo thing. And she was like, oh yeah, but I don't know how to write. And she's like, don't worry, I'll help you out. I'll write down the email for you. I'll hit up the, you know, I'll help you hit up the sponsors. That's it. That for me was the moment where I was like, oh, thank you. You guys just made my day right now, right here, you know, helping each other, caring about each other and doing something that they both fucking love, which is snowboarding, you know? And
that's very refreshing because we come from a time that'd be like, oh, I need glove sponsors.
And you'd be like, well, I have mine and I have potentially a second one, but I'm not going to share it because if I share it, then, you know, I might run out of mine. And this is completely the opposite, and probably is definitely is like a more growing and powerful in many ways than the other.
Because
dualists, right?
Yeah. And also, you know, there's some people that are way more, I mean, I'm Anatta, for example, I totally see myself kind of like her, apart from the fact that I don't have her writing skills and I should never have her writing. She's so fucking sick. Okay. She's got the besties ever. I mean, her, Paola, and and all the team, but like, she's insane. But I see myself kind of like her because I used to be kind of, you know, I don't know what to do kind of person, you know? And then there's Nikki, who's, you know, Nikki and Alex, they're like so similar and they're the hustlers. They'll be like, I know how to get this. I'm going to do a proposal. I'm going to, you know, send videos. I'm going to put up a clip. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to contact that guy. And you can totally see like how successful you can be.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is like, well, maybe you don't have to be the hustler yourself as long as you can ask for help when you need it. If you are, great, but if you aren't, that doesn't mean you can't make it either.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's very powerful.
But there's another enigma in the the question, which is also a responsibility. Like, if you're a great writer and you need help trying to be, you know, get up there, you also need the help, I think. I mean, judging from my from my experience, you need the help of your sponsors. Like, if you have a sponsor, I'm talking if you're already like, you know, in the AM category, let's say, okay, you need the help of your sponsors to progress and to get seen.
Right. Let's talk about the help of the sponsors. What that does actually mean? Who's the person within a brand? You know, okay, I'm a snowboard brand. I make snowboards. I sell snowboards to shops. And I have flags with my name on it. Who is the person, or how is the person gonna help this rider to climb up the ladder?
Yeah, so usually it's the team manager, I would say.
And I concur. And so maybe I'm gonna create a lot of enemies here right now, but I think that most of the team managers for the past few years have been either not caring or very shit at their job,
or
it wasn't like a professional role enough. Maybe they weren't getting paid enough themselves. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think there is a lot to improve in that.
I agree. And also, how many women team managers do you know?
Why? You?
I don't get it. What I don't get. That's another make space.
For what I've seen, like riders that become too old and in the pro team and they don't know what to do with them, they put them as a team manager, which some of them are great at it. Some of them just simply don't have the skills. Because for me, a team manager is a person that does human relations, that helps people out, that encourages you, that pushes you, that takes you to the next step.
Yeah.
And a bit like a mom or a dad, you know, you allow them to go and learn. But when you see, like, you have to provide the environment. And when you see that they can't do it, you go and push them a little bit or give them that step so they can reach a bit further. And I think some people naturally have those abilities, and some of these riders have done great, but others haven't. And this team manager role, because of the growing of the industry, kind of just happened organically. It never really showed the importance these people have.
Yeah.
And my question to you is, because I think we agree on this, how do we change that?
Again, I know it's going to be hard, but a lot of women just have to step up and be like, I'm claiming this role. honestly, because
we're doing it anyways.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like you. What you said is 100% what I feel, and you said something like, "Oh, it's kind of like being mom and dad," you know. But like, I mean, we women have this caring in our DNA.
Yeah.
So we would be the best team ever. Yeah. Not saying that I'm the best because I'm not, because I have so many faults, but having this mix between Alex and I, he's the, you know, the male team manager, I'm the female team manager, but in the end, we have a global team. Mm. Okay. Therefore we work together. How great is that? Like that's why should it be utopic? I don't get it. Like everybody, I don't get it.
I guess I'll have to ask, I don't know, marketing directors, because I guess team managers respond to marketing directors and they'll probably respond budget.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But it's, you know, the team management is something really exciting because it doesn't only go to pro levels. It goes from, you know, from grassroots to, the best of the best. And
exactly.
And the team manager for me has to be that selfless figure that cares about their pupils more than he cares about or she cares about themselves.
Yeah.
And that's why perhaps I say the mom or dad example.
Yeah.
And I feel like in our community, it's kind of been that role of like you fall into without even knowing that you're falling into.
Yeah.
Or that when they don't know what to do with you, they put you there. Again, I still feel like in some brands and in some cases it's changing, and it's actually changing for good. But is it enough, right?
I really want to say I'd love to have like a megaphone.
Yeah.
Megaphone, yeah. Mm. And just yell it out. Can you hire women team managers in your brands now? Like, honestly, I'd love to put, I don't know, like I can't reinforce it enough. I can't find the answer. Like, as you said, money, okay, fine, money, but why are they only males? Please answer. Like, because now everyone's culpable at this point. Like, honestly.
Okay, well, we'll get on that. Yeah. I'll start asking people that, and hopefully we'll find out.
I really want to find out.
I think it's another conversation we should definitely talk about. I'm conscious of time, but I really want to bring up now your motherhood into all of this, because of course it's something that touches me very closely.
Yeah.
And I experienced myself, and I understand how having this non-traditional job, let alone lifestyle, van life, it's tricky enough.
Yeah.
So becoming a mother within all of this, how are you doing? How are you coping?
Yeah.
And how do you see yourself going on about this?
Well, I think I'm doing good, but of course, I think when you become a mother, there's so many factors and so many variables and so many things that just hit you in the face but not hard enough, because you're so used to now just like, you know, getting hit in the face, you know, your daughter cries, you have to change your diaper, you're living in the van, you don't have any water. Bindings don't work, and you know, whatever, and stuff like that. You know, Paula's knee is fucked, and Alex needs money. I don't know, whatever it is, you know, you have all these things. Plus, you know, you also have a child now, and it's insane. Like, I think it's great though, because it, for me personally, it just transformed me into this superhuman that I never knew that I was. I always thought I was a bit of a slacker. You know, I'm like an easygoing hustler, like super easygoing, very chilled. Like, you know, I like to take things, you know, quite easy, but now it's, I can't believe, sometimes I'm like, I can't believe I just did that. I can't believe I just wrote whatever. I did an interview. I can't believe I just did, you know, whilst breastfeeding. And then of course, I always think of Maria Thompson.
Yeah.
And then I think, okay, we're so fucking badass. anything.
Yeah, we find superpowers in places that we didn't even know they existed. Yeah.
No.
You kind of have these abilities and this, I think it's instinct. At the end of the day, we're animals and we're wired to survive.
Exactly.
And it's funny how something that powerful a lot of the times when it comes to the professional world or sports world goes against us.
Yeah.
Because yes, we can do a lot of things, but at the end of the day, we're humans. And so to combine all of it can prove tricky.
Wow.
And
wow. So overwhelming at times.
Who are your biggest allies? And of course, I know you're going to say probably Alex and your parents, but also outside of your family, who are your biggest allies in this new journey?
So, for me, it's honestly our snowboard community, ours of, you know, the one that we usually hang out with has, it is being insane. Mm-hmm. Like, probably because, you know, they see me, you know, trying to do 1,000 things with like India in my, you know, in my arms. They'll be like, oh, can I take her, you know, I'll play with her or whatever. So it's been so nice. Like, these 2 months filming have been so intense, and so many times I just wanted to kill myself. Not literally, but like, you know, just, yeah, really intense. And I didn't film a lot because honestly, for me right now, of course, for me, India is my obsession. She comes first. So, I mean, I filmed 3 shots in this movie. And one of them, I was, I was rocking India on the pram whilst pressing, of course, just record on one camera. And on the other camera, I had the Panasonic. So I had like 2 cameras rocking India, and it was raining literally sideways with like 50 kilometer winds. And India was like soaking wet. But yeah, but I just know that when Alex says I need to get a shot, he has to get the shot. And that's, you know.
You say, again, another very close topic, another topic close to my heart, that it's, you kind of have to do everything.
Yeah.
But do we have to do everything?
I don't know. It's a choice.
When the hell are we gonna learn to ask for help believe that we deserve it? I'm guilty as charged. Like, I'm the first one that takes it all on, and I feel like I have to carry the whole weight, whether it's, you know, it's on me always, 100% of the time. And if I ask for help, then I feel bad about it. And if I do ask for help, it's too late and they can't help anymore. So when the hell are we going to do that? You know, now, and outside of snowboarding, outside of everything, like, as women, it's like, damn it.
But actually, it could also be the, you know, like, I totally agree. And I resonate with that. And I'm like that as well. But it could also be, you know, the same question could be asked to, not going into motherhood, but to women snowboarders, you know?
Yeah.
it's could be the same
that feeling of like I have to push harder, I have to to hustle more, I have to earn these spots. And this is a story that we're hearing more and more, like, you know, you mentioned Jess several times, how she had to push harder than anyone she knew because she felt like she didn't deserve it, so she had to work harder. And this is a story you hear in, you know, a professional business environment where women often work harder than their peers because they feel like otherwise they will never earn that promotion or
it's that, you know. 100%.
I think you described it very well, that we have such an amazing community, and snowboarding is a great community, and action sports in general is a great community, or it has the potential to be and become and grow and improve, because we're passionate people and we're caring people, generally speaking. So I think we have the tools and the great community and the right people around us to make these things better. How or what would you tell your younger self if, you know, she had to, if you were born at this moment and you had to start over now, knowing what you know, what would you tell yourself?
That's a good question, actually. Probably. I mean, it would be great if I had been more sure and just not gave a fuck about judgment. For sure. 100%. 100%. But, you know, now I care 100 times less. I still, sometimes I catch myself, you know, oh, what if, but really rarely, really, really. And I think, you know, maybe that's a good thing.
I'm my worst judge at the moment. Wow, there's so much to unpack here, and I think I could keep talking to you for like days, and then I'll just have to come to one of your trips and stay in the van, bring Pia with me so the girls can play, or Pia can look after India.
Whenever you want, you're more than invited, you're more than welcome. I love it. It's just such a beautiful environment, even though like sometimes I'm like, ah, you know, of course.
I might take you up on that. So
yeah.
But for now, I just want to thank you so much for being part of the community, for being such a role model, for being such a badass mom, and for fighting for what you believe in, and for talking to us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alba. You're the best. Thanks so much.